And good evening, Hoops HD fans. Welcome to a Final Four edition, special edition Bracket Racket, coming to you live here on the eve of the biggest semifinal game in the history of college basketball. I am your host, Chad Sherwood, with me, NGI's number two fan after myself, David Griggs. David, how you doing?
Woohoo! Excited. Oh, this has been great. You know, it's been a while since we've been on, and I don't know. Now, do you think, like, when the judge was telling you that he felt sorry for you because I was your client, do you think that bodes well for us or not? We had a lot of craziness.
I found when all else fails, if you can get a little bit of a sympathy vote there, it does kind of help out. You know, you got to use every trick in the book, so.
Yeah. And again, it is. I mean, it's a weird ethical dilemma. You basically have to represent me. So,
yeah, and we've had some issues with the service you've been running as well, and a few a few more complaints that might be leading to some legal action. Although I think we are still running it through the end of this week. If I'm right.
Yes, we are. If anybody needs it, if for whatever reason, if you're unable to watch the Final Four and you want to watch it, you can utilize our service. I will call your boss. I will call your parents, wife, girlfriend, whoever, and I will straighten it out.
Right, and
so ungrateful, though. I mean, some of these, I don't understand it.
Yeah, I mean, people apparently they want to keep their jobs, they want to keep their girlfriends. I don't understand that quite very much either. But that appears to be one of the situations here. You know, we've got Easter weekend coming up here, so you know, could have effects on the entire family with this weekend's games. But hopefully, again, if you need to watch it though, just email David, david.griggs@hoopshd.com.
That's right.
Anyhow, we have a lot we want to go over tonight. We want to start with some news and notes, actually, before we get into any of the games. And there's been quite a bit of head coaching news out there already, some changes, some firings. We'll start right at the top. Rick Barnes is gone from Texas, David.
Yeah, Rick Barnes probably wasn't as good at Texas, at least not recently, as as a lot of people probably thought he should, but he wasn't bad there either. When you're making the NCAA tournament and you're inside the bubble, you're doing pretty good, and I can't think of too many examples where schools got rid of coaches who had made the NCAA tournament. Wake Forest getting rid of Dino Gaudio, Minnesota laughably sort of forcing Tubby Smith out. But then again, this is Texas.
Go back a few years. You have, you know, Michigan getting rid of Bill Frieder and putting Steve Fisher in charge and watching him go 6-0 and win the championship. But that's I guess it's a little old school at this point, isn't it?
Right. Pre-Fab 5. Wow.
Yeah. With Rick Barnes, it's not a question here whether he was successful or not, in my opinion. It's the issue here that we're talking about Texas. I mean, a school that has its own television network, a school that is probably the biggest moneymaker in all of college sports. If it's not, I'd be shocked. And when you have that situation, I think you've got to be a national championship contender every year. Right. I think Texas wants the success of a Kentucky or a Duke or a North Carolina. They haven't been that.
No, they haven't. He's been the one Final Four. I mean, again, he's had a decent career, a pretty good career, just not a great one. You know, went to a Final Four, went to multiple NCAA tournaments. He'll land on his feet. From the sound of it, I believe, is this official or is it just the rumor that he's landing at Tennessee?
That is the talk that he's going to – he may very well go from one UT to another UT here. At Tennessee, where that's another piece of news here. Donnie Tindall lasted all of one season there amid the a failure to vet. Let's put it that way here.
Yes.
The Tennessee administration.
Yes. Just not a good situation. Oh, wow.
And Tennessee is now looking for, I think, what's their fourth coach in 6 years, and that's just not good. If it does end up being Rick Barnes, you know, hopefully he'll be there for quite some time. But, yeah, amid the allegations of improper conduct while he was at Southern Miss, it ended up with Southern Miss being on the banned from the postseason this year. Not that it really mattered given their record, but Donnie Tindall was let go by Tennessee, and you know, for him, you know, might be a while before he lands back at another coaching job, if ever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see him being a head coach. I don't think he's going to get a show cause. He'll probably be able to land on someone's staff. I don't see him being a head coach, which He didn't do bad. I mean, it's Southern Miss. I guess he was cheating, but he had some success there.
Yes, well, he was successfully cheating until this year. But a few other pieces of coaching news. St. John's parting ways with Steve Lavin, despite the fact that he made the tournament this year. I think it comes down to, though, that 4 years ago, St. John's had a top five nationally rated recruiting class, and Steve Lavin could come in, and this was going to be the turnaround for St. John's, and this was their best year with that class, and it was the last year of that class, and really right. just, I think, a disappointing last 4 years when it comes down to it.
Yeah, they've hired Chris Mullins, who, again, played there in the 80s, had an NBA career. I don't know if this is a good idea or not. He's never been a coach at the college level.
At any level, I don't think.
Yeah, it's a little bit strange.
It's a little strange, and I know some people don't agree with me, think that he is going to be successful. Personally, I think this reminds me of Florida International, and then the Knicks trying to hire Isaiah Thomas, that type of move, and we know that that didn't quite work very well.
No one should hire Isaiah Thomas to do anything. You know, he wrecked the Knicks, he sort of wrecked the Pacers, he wrecked Florida International, and he wrecked the entire Continental Basketball Association. Some people you just should never hire, and he's one of them. So at least St. John's did not hire him.
And I've actually heard, as far as you have, a little bit of a rumor still right now, but he's being rumored for the Arizona State job that opened up when Herb Sendek gone also. So, the only requirement, if Steve Lavin does end up in that job, he better not do anything to get rid of the curtain of distraction. That's all I'm going to say.
No, he better not. Yeah, so again, those are the big ones. There are sometimes, Chad, schools fire coaches, and you just wonder what the hell they're doing.
We had that a couple of smaller majors. Murray Bartow has been at East Tennessee State, I think, forever.
Yeah, 12 years.
This year. I think you're referring to what happened at Northern Kentucky, who had the best season ever, is only a year away from being eligible. And why don't you pick this up, David?
Well, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Dave Beasold had been at NKU for I don't know how many years, but it was 10, 15, 20, whatever it was. They were a Division II, I don't want to say powerhouse, but they were a very formidable program. I believe it was 3 or 4 years ago, the year Bellarmine won the national championship. The way Division II works is the regionals are just that. So if Division I were set up like Division II, there's no way Louisville and Kentucky would ever be in the same Final Four because they would be in the same geographic region. They had the second best team, I thought, in all of Division II. Had they gone on to win that game against Bellarmine, I think they would have gone on to win the Division II national championship. It was their third year of a transitional program. They had finished in the middle of a Div I conference as a transitional program 3 years in a row. This makes no sense. None.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's just one of those moves, those mystifying moves. Now, maybe there's somebody else that they've already lined up that's going to make sense. And what I'm thinking about here is when Grand Canyon moved up, they'd had a coach who'd been there for years, and his name slipped my mind at the moment. I apologize. But they suddenly had a chance to bring in Thunder Dan Marley, and so they made the move. And can't complain with the job that Marley's done there at Grand Canyon, but that's the only way there's any sense there. But if it's that they're going to go on, they're going to find somebody who's, been an assistant on some staff at some mid-major and bring him in. Right. I don't know that move makes any sense. The guy has been successful, and he's been the one person who's been given the task of building this into a D1 program, and they're not even there yet. They still have one more transitional year to go.
Right, and he's been very loyal to this program. He's been very loyal all the way through the transit. I mean, what did they want him to do? Make the NCAA tournament? They can't. I mean, it was...
They finished in fourth place, got a home game. It was an exciting game. They lost it, but they got a home game in the ASUN tournament even.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
One other piece of news we did skip over, the Greg Marshall story is out there, that he was or was not going to be meeting with Alabama, who's really trying to, do anything to try to bring him in to replace Anthony Grant. There's also been some talk about him connected to Texas as well, though, now.
Yeah, I think one of those jobs is slightly better than the other.
Yeah, slightly. Although, if you talk about schools with money, it's about even. But Alabama has not been as a basketball power by any means.
Yeah, it's not. Alabama really wants good basketball. There's this notion that people in the South don't care about basketball. Well, they don't care about mediocre or bad basketball. They love good basketball, and I think if you watch the SEC this year, a lot of these programs that used to be kind of stagnant. You know, Georgia was selling out. Ole Miss was selling out. I mean, people were showing up. Texas A&M. Alabama would support winning basketball in a big way. And I think now that Auburn appears to have their program on the upswing, Alabama, damn it, they want to get it on too.
They can't let Auburn get away from them. Absolutely. By bringing in Bruce Pearl last year, Alabama has to respond.
Right. So I disagree with the notion that Alabama doesn't care about basketball with the point they would care if it started winning. It would be a big deal. So it's not a bad job. Having said that, Texas is way better.
One other job that did fill in the SEC, actually, Ben Howland took the job at Mississippi State. Guy who was connected with every single job opening last year and ended up getting none of them, so he finally lands another job. And I think that's another sign of another upgrade in head coaching, though, in the SEC.
Yeah, for sure.
That we may not next year, but the next two or three years, we may be talking about the SEC as the best conference out there. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, and it's been strong in the past, not in recent years, albeit with last year being the exception. But it really could be. This is a home run, I think, for Mississippi State. Rick Sansbury was there forever. They hired Rick Ray, a really surprising I guess, are you surprised that a guy that had never been a head coach and that was an assistant at Clemson who had never really been but one NCAA tournament with that current staff, was unable to win more than he was? I mean, what were they expecting?
And I think that shows the difference of the SEC 5-6 years ago versus the SEC now. I don't think the SEC really cared about basketball. It was kind of like, okay, let Kentucky and Florida do their thing, and we've got football. And I really think that Mike Slive has said, hey, we got to get basketball up there. We're the SEC. We can't be a joke. And,
right.
And this year, I think they started that turnaround big time and bringing a few more top coaches. I really think you got to watch out for the SEC moving forward here the next few years.
Oh, for sure.
Unlike the Big 12 this year, which we all thought was the best conference.
Right. And I don't know about you, but my bracket is perfect.
I'll tell you, David, actually, I had one of my most incredible brackets ever this year. I hit 7 out of the 8 final Elite 8 teams. The only team that I missed was I had Villanova in where Louisville ended up. And then I just fell apart in the Elite 8. The only team that's in there that I had correctly was one everyone else in the world had, which is Kentucky. So
who almost didn't get it. Oh, what a game that was.
Yeah.
Oh,
why don't we start by – why don't we just kind of run through each of the regions here? What I'll do is I'll pull up on my screen the brackets. Get that up here in a second.
All right.
Do we see them?
Not yet. Yeah, there we go. All right. Okay. I got it. Okay. Now we're it's okay. There it is. All right.
Can we see it all on the screen?
Yeah, it's on this. It's all on.
Okay,
there.
Perfect. This is the Midwest region. Obviously, we were just talking about this game here. Let's talk about the regional semifinal first here. Kentucky, West Virginia. West Virginia came in and said they were going to beat Kentucky.
And I believe them.
You did believe them.
Yes, I had said all year long that Kentucky did not struggled against teams that like to play half-court basketball. I mean, they would run Arkansas off the floor, but the teams that kind of played at a slower pace, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, even Buffalo for a half, were the kinds of games that they struggled to win. And I thought, well, West Virginia likes to do that, and unlike those other teams who were decent, West Virginia is really good. I think West Virginia is going to win this game. They did not win it.
The biggest blowout in the Sweet 16 history, and it was
wasn't
like,
I think, really?
Yeah, it was ugly, ugly, ugly.
It was 18-2 at one point. It was 50-19 at one. It was ridiculous.
It was 78-39 at one point. Oh, and that was actually the final score. Yeah, that was ridiculous. And then on the other hand, Notre Dame then comes in and gives Kentucky a hell of a game. I really thought they had it won. I really did.
I did too. And what's crazy, Notre Dame, a good outside shooting team, did not shoot the ball well at all from the outside in this game. If they had they just shot mediocre instead of just awful, they win this game. They almost won as it was. Tremendous effort from Notre Dame all throughout this tournament. I mean, we had watched Notre Dame and we had liked them, but what a month they've had. They win the ACC championship. They get to the Elite Eight, and they gave Kentucky clearly the biggest scare they've had all year from anyone.
Notre Dame absolutely proved that they deserved at least the 3 seed that they'd end up getting, maybe even deserve more than that the way they played. Hopefully next year they'll actually schedule somebody non-conference and be better than this, but we'll see.
I want to applaud the Kentucky Cincinnati. This region, when you look at the round of 32, gave us a lot of games between teams that don't regularly play but should always play. Kentucky and Cincinnati separated by 80 miles. A lot of overlap in the fan base, a lot of dislike, yet they never play. West Virginia and Maryland should play. I mean, that was kind of a football rivalry for a while, but they don't regularly play. Butler and Notre Dame should always play, yet because of the crossroads being Indiana and Purdue, they're never paired against each other, and they don't play. And then, of course, Wichita State and Kansas, that's the one that we have wanted for forever, and I think Wichita proved that they are worthy of a game against Kansas.
Yeah. Well, I'm moving on from that, Kentucky, West Virginia, and Kentucky, Notre Dame, those are teams that should be considering playing on a field, maybe not every year because Kentucky can't play everybody, but, I mean, you're talking about neighboring states there as well.
Yeah, and again, they do play occasionally, whereas Cincinnati, they just never, ever play. I think they've played since 1983, less than a handful of times, maybe 3 or 4 times, always in the NCAA tournament. There is a story here. I don't know all the facts of it, but it was the slowdown game where Cincinnati just held the ball, and I think the final score was 23-11 back in 83, the pre-shot clock era. And Kentucky just said they'd never play or schedule Cincinnati again, and they haven't.
Well, they are Kentucky, so they can do what they want. So,
right.
As UTEP really knows very well.
Yeah.
We'll get back into that story. Let's move on to the next region here. We'll move on to the West region. So we scroll the screen up a little bit here. And this is the region that's put Wisconsin into the Final Four after a game they looked really good against Arizona. I was actually really impressed with them. I mean, Arizona kind of was in there the whole way, but you just never got the feeling that Arizona was going to make the run and get them.
Right, you didn't, and it was a really good game. This Wisconsin team is superb. They weren't really they didn't get a monster road win the way that the other number one seeds got, and I think that's why we didn't put them on the one line, although we knew the real committee would. But they've looked great all throughout this tournament. Oregon hung with them a little bit, but in North Carolina really played well for most of the game. But Wisconsin has looked as good as anybody, minus maybe Kentucky against West Virginia.
Yeah, really, the other two stories that came out of this region, one was the Xavier run, and this was a Xavier team. We were talking about how well they were playing heading into the NCAA tournament. They didn't really pull off an upset, but they gave Arizona a game, and they were able to get by Ole Miss and by Georgia State. And, of course, the other story was Georgia State itself with that huge upset win in the first round, in the round of 64 over Baylor.
Yeah, that was surprising simply because Georgia State, not really since November and December, hadn't looked like an NCAA tournament at-large caliber team. We thought coming into the year they would be, so I guess they had it in them. But you watch them play in this tournament, even in the game they lost against Xavier, and it's like, my God, you wouldn't have been, you may have been an 8 or a 9. You could have had a much more manageable road had you played like that all year. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say a little news out of Georgia State today that R.J. Hunter, their best player, did announce for the NBA draft, despite the fact that his father is his head coach. He's not going to come back for his senior year. So,
They'll still be one of the better teams in the Sun Belt, probably not as good as they were at the end of this year. But that was a good story, and they were right in there with Xavier. I mean, really, the under-8 timeout, I think it was tied.
Yeah, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the East region here. This was the region of the most upsets, obviously, and we've got a 7 seed for the second straight year in the Final Four. Last year, of course, the 7 seed won it all, but this year, we'll see if that happens again. But Michigan State won. It's a great game over Louisville. Probably the best game of the weekend.
Yeah,
maybe the Kentucky Notre Dame was best, but the second best game of the weekend.
Yeah, and again, one of the biggest surprises. It isn't that I didn't think NC State was good. It's that I thought Villanova was great. I mean, they were a team that I would have not surprised me if they won at all. And they just got out there and could not score. They couldn't hit anything. And they were really behind that entire game, to NC State. And I'm almost as surprised by that as I am by anything else. Louisville had a really good tournament. I thought Irvine was going to beat them going into the game. I just thought it was a bad matchup for Louisville. They almost did. The other thing that kind of surprised me was how Louisville really shot the ball well against Northern Iowa. Northern Iowa did not play that well in that game, not compared to what we had seen from them and what we were expecting from them, I think.
Right. Looking down the bottom of the bracket, we had this Virginia team that we loved all season that just kind of collapsed the last 2 weeks of the season, losing in the ACC tournament, losing the game at Louisville late in the season. When I looked at this bracket, I said they're in trouble here with this Michigan State team, and they absolutely were. In fact, I had Michigan State going in my Elite Eight, so I had them beating Oklahoma as well personally. I thought that this Michigan State team really has the way this team has been playing has been the exact opposite. They peaked at exactly the right time. They made that great run in the Big Ten tournament, almost beat Wisconsin there in the final game in overtime. And they might be playing them again. Who knows?
Yeah, they might be. Another team of note here was this Dayton team that came out of the first four. I thought that was crazy that they were in the first four. Them and Boise. I liked them both better than that. But they finally... You're watching that Oklahoma game, and when they had a lead, and it was their sixth game in 9 days with a six-man rotation and no front court, you were just wondering, how in the hell are they doing this? God. I don't think I've ever been...
Archie Miller, I can't say enough about the coach job Archie Miller has done. And good for Dayton. They locked him up for, I think, for 10 more years. We'll see if the contract actually sticks that long, but they did give him... You know, they opened up the checkbooks for him, and maybe he will be sticking around there, and I hope he does, because he's done some great things there at Dayton these last few years.
Yeah, they really have, and they should be one of the better teams in that league moving forward.
One more region, it's the South region. Duke, the third of four 1 seeds to make the Final Four. I had Gonzaga. I really thought Gonzaga would win this region. They did make the Elite Eight for the first time ever under Mark Few, beating a UCLA team that should not have even been in the game. And all that UCLA did to get there was got a bad call in their favor in their first round game over SMU, and they beat a UAB team all the teams in this region, one of the few teams they were actually were better than them.
One of the narratives that really bugged me was like, well, UCLA's in the Sweet 16. I guess that showed they belong. No, it didn't. UCLA could have won it all, and I still would have said they didn't belong because it's not based on what you could potentially do. With that logic, a team that missed the playoffs in football could be allowed to play in the Super Bowl, and if they win, you can say, well, see, they belonged. No, I mean, you get into this tournament based on what you do during the year. UCLA didn't do anything. So the fact that they won, in my opinion, because they did get so far, it's an even stronger argument that they shouldn't have been there because they shouldn't have even been afforded that opportunity.
They did not belong. I agree with you. They're the one team that I adamantly feel the committee made a huge mistake on. The other thing in this region, though, I want to mention is this UAB team. What a great story for UAB, who's had all the trouble with their football program, goes and wins the CUSA tournament to get the automatic bid, and then pulls absolutely the shocker of the entire tournament, I think, not putting aside the Georgia State victory. This was even more of a shocker that they beat this Iowa State team that had just come off their second straight Big 12 tournament championship, was playing as good as anybody in the country. That was my biggest fear in picking Gonzaga out of this region. I didn't know how they would get by Iowa State.
It was as surprised. The only time I think I've been more surprised is Florida Gulf Coast making the Sweet 16 that year after not looking anything. I mean, they were good during the year, but nothing like the way they played in the NCAA tournament. There was the year Ohio just clobbered Georgetown. I forget, that was 2 or 3 years ago. Like a team that was 9-7 in conference play, and this UAB team played out of their minds, and they have not played that well in about 10 years. It was I could not believe it. And it is a good story. They have a lot of young players. Their future would be bright if they knew what conference they were going to be in, but they're having trouble putting together a schedule now, from what I understand, simply because they don't know what conference they're going to be in. So,
yeah, and that's a decision I think it's been tabled until sometime in June, but within the next couple months we should know what UAB's future is. And I don't think they're going to be staying in Conference USA. I think the bigger question is, are they out next year, or do they get one last season in the conference? I think right. That's what it's going to come down to. I'm sorry, go ahead.
But it was one of the bigger surprises of the entire tournament.
Yeah. Well, so, David, we've got our Final Four set starting Saturday. Let's pull it up right here in Indianapolis. Kentucky versus Wisconsin, Michigan State versus Duke. Michigan State Duke, a rematch of a Champions Classic game back from November 18th, which also the other game of that was Kentucky Kansas. So 3 out of 4 teams from that Champions Classic back in November. As you like to say, watch those November games. Preview of one of the national semifinals there, and the other national semifinalist is also in that tournament.
Right.
But anyhow, Michigan State Duke, Kentucky Wisconsin. Let's start with Kentucky Wisconsin. Who do you like?
I can't. After watching what they did to West Virginia, I just can't pick against Kentucky. I thought Wisconsin is exactly the kind of team that Kentucky would not beat. But after seeing that, how do you? They clearly can beat a team like Wisconsin. I think it's going to be a really good game, but I just think Kentucky can go to another level that Wisconsin cannot go to, and we saw that. In order for Whiskey to win this game, Kentucky will not be able. Will have to play a game that's below their best.
You know, I'm not going to agree with you here. I don't think that Kentucky's going to have any trouble at all. I'm predicting a blowout. I think with a full week to prepare here, and the stage that we're on, this is the game that Kentucky rolls. The championship game, I think, might be a different story, but I think Kentucky is the one that rolls in this game. The second game, Michigan State Duke, I expect a dogfight here the entire game. I think Michigan State's playing so well right now. In the end, I think Duke is going to find a way to pull this out, though.
Mm-hmm. I do, too. And that sets up the storyline between Duke and Kentucky. The TV crew, I mean, they were going to love that. It'll probably be one of the higher rated games. I know Butler Duke a few years ago was the highest rated one since 1989. This one might surpass that.
If you have Kentucky Duke, I think it will surpass it. I think I don't know that there's anybody that's not going to be watching that night.
Right.
In the end, David, because all the teams that I originally predicted are all gone at this point, I'm going to call the upset. I'm going to call Duke to win it all.
I agree. Really? This is a Duke team that has won. You have to kind of look at it below the surface. They won at Louisville, had a much easier time doing it than Kentucky. They won at Virginia when Virginia was at full strength. This is a team who, at least when you look at what they've done, they have probably won more hard games than Kentucky. Now, that doesn't mean they're better than Kentucky, but they beat a pretty good Gonzaga team pretty convincingly the other night.
Let me throw something out here. Let's say Kentucky does win these next two games, finishes 40-0. No team has ever been 40-0. No team's ever won 39 games in a season. No team's ever been 38-0, which they've done now. No team's ever won more than 38, which they could do by beating Wisconsin. If they finish 40-0, do we have to talk this Kentucky team this year as one of the greatest teams of all time?
Of course. I mean, they're the first team, maybe not the greatest team of all time, but there hasn't been a team this good in 40 years, 39, whenever it was. Of course they are. Are they as good as the UNLV teams from the 90s? Maybe not. Are they as good as the 76 Indiana team or some of those UCLA teams? Probably not, but they're certainly on the list as one of the greatest teams of all time.
Well, remember, I mean, the best of those UNLV teams is the one that went into the right. NCAA tournament undefeated, but lost. They didn't win it all. So
how
can you say that team is better than Kentucky if Kentucky finds a way to win it all?
Right, and you probably can't.
Obviously, we're still 2 games away from that, and it's going to be Kentucky's 2 toughest games they've played all season. So by no means are they there yet.
Right. Oh, God, that would have been something had Notre Dame beaten them. Notre Dame in the Final Four, I think they would have enjoyed that.
Yeah. Well, that would have gotten some TV ratings also, but and it would have been a first for Notre Dame basketball to be the one bringing in the ratings.
Right, yeah.
We want to talk about a few other topics here, David. Obviously, the NCAA tournament is not the only tournament currently going on. There is the NIT. If you want to talk about teams proving that they may have really belonged to the tournament, 2 teams that I think both got shafted the most were Miami and Temple. They're going to be playing in one of the NIT semifinals tomorrow night. The other semifinals between Stanford and Old Dominion. Any thoughts about the NIT?
Really good showing for Old Dominion in this tournament. They looked good in November, December. They didn't look good in conference play, but they've played well in the NIT.
They did get every game at home, which is where they played so well all season. Right. I think they're going to lose to Stanford in the one semifinal because they're no longer at home.
Correct. Yeah.
I think Miami, talent wise, is the best team of these 4, and I think Miami is going to. I think Jim Larranaga is going to win this NIT tournament here.
I agree with that. I mean, for the same reason you just said, I just think they're the best team out of the 4.
A tournament neither of us really cares too much for is the CBI, which runs a best-out-of-3 championship series. As we record this right now, Loyola Chicago just won the first game of that series. They were 1-0 over Louisiana Monroe out of the Sun Belt. Game 2 is coming up Wednesday night. David, do you care who wins?
I'd like to. I mean, given the choice, I'd kind of like to see Loyola, but no, I don't like the Gazelle group. I think that it's a chop shop, and I would kind of like to see the NIT either go out to 48 or even 64 teams and just swallow this tournament, or why not go out to 80 and have both of them? I mean,
I do like the CIT. I think the CollegeInsider.com tournament group, they do a great job putting on that tournament. The people that run the show there at the CIT are, you know, huge fans of mid-majors. They go out of their way. They've got an awesome website. If you want to go check out collegeinsider.com, the videos they have there, everything.
It's fantastic.
Emmy award-winning there, you know.
Yeah, it really is. But,
now, coming up tomorrow night, Tuesday night, we have the semifinals of the CIT. The first game, Tennessee Martin is at Evansville. An Evansville team that I liked at the beginning of the season, I thought was an NCAA tournament contender. I think this is the team to beat in this tournament at this point. I think going into the CIT, they were the team to beat, and they still are.
Yeah, I agree. Really good season for Tennessee Martin. A team that was just abysmal 2 or 3 years ago has really turned it around. So they're actually a really good story. But having said that, I don't think they go any further.
All right, and that's it for tonight. We're going to – oh, did I forget
what?
Something?
No.
Yeah, the second semifinal tomorrow night of the CIT, the game we've been waiting for all season out of Flagstaff, Arizona, and we want to start by calling on all college basketball fans in the state of Arizona or anywhere near the state of Arizona to show up in your NJIT red tomorrow night.
Yes, your team.
We want your team rooted for here also. It's a tough home court there in northern Arizona. They were packed for their quarterfinal win over Kent State. So we need some NJIT support coming out there. NJIT at Northern Arizona. David, your thoughts?
I believe in it. I will never, ever, ever pick against the team of the people. What a great, great, great season for that program. Wow.
And let's talk about, I mean, in the CIT games themselves, New Hampshire, they got their first game. But then they played against this Cleveland State team that I think was a better team even than the Michigan team they beat on the road. This was a really good Cleveland State team they beat
really
in their second game. And what a game it was. Kai Howard, with 30 seconds left, hit a three-pointer that hit the rim, bounced up 10 feet, rolled around. You thought it was going to fall sideways, and then somehow end up rolling through the basket. And absolutely amazing win for NJIT then. And then to come out and get Canisius in the quarterfinals and on Saturday night, and they were down. They were down most of that game.
Yeah, they were.
Back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it really was. I mean, it's been an exciting team to watch. The fans were great. I mean, they were just rammed in there. It was. I mean, there's quite a bit of buzz around this team. I'd like to see things work out for them. I know that they're looking at a conference. I know that the Atlantic Sun is probably not at the top of their list of leagues they'd like to be in, but the A-Sun, with their membership down to 7, even though they're kind of a geographic outlier, I mean, they were in the Great West. Why not the A-Sun?
A-Sun is still at 8, I believe, actually. Kennesaw State, the word I have on them right now is that they're only going to be joining another conference as a football-only member, and they're staying in for all their sports at A-Sun for now.
Okay,
but that could change in the future.
Never mind. I'm mistaken then. I thought they were leaving for all sports.
Yeah, no, I did take a look into that. And right now the announcement is only a football. I think they're joining the Big South football-only affiliate member. So we'll see. Obviously, that could change, though, as we move forward. But, yeah, NJIT really does belong in a conference. They've got a new facility that's been greenlit to go. And now they're playing in a tiny little facility there. But the fans there have been amazing.
Oh, they have been. Oh, yeah.
I retweeted right before the game. Canisius's Twitter account came out there and said this was the loudest court that Canisius had played in the last 10 years.
Yeah,
with 1,500 people there only.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a bandbox. It really is, and those are the kinds of venues that can get very, very loud. But it's kind of the Metro Atlantic is full of places you would think would be exceptionally loud, like Manhattan and Iona and these smaller gyms. So that is it is kind of surprising to hear that from Canisius, but wow.
Yeah. So anyhow, tomorrow night at Northern Arizona, it's going to be on CBS Sports Network. So tune in if you can't make it to the game out there. NJIT, I mean, this Northern Arizona has been a great story for them this year. This is the first time they ever won any postseason games. They've set a school record for victories in a season as well as NJIT. So two programs both having probably their best seasons ever.
Right.
NJIT is going for whoever wins this game. If it's Tennessee Martin that wins the other semifinal, it's been confirmed NJIT would actually host the championship game Thursday night.
Wow.
So keeping an eye out for that as well.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts here, any other comments we want to make before we call tonight, David?
I believe we pretty much touched on everything. Again, we'll be back next week most likely, and then we kind of go in the off-season mode where we might only come on once a month, if that, to just kind of talk about scheduling and coaching changes and then other topics. But it's been fun. It really has all year long.
It has. You know, a little just comment as we head into the off-season. I know we're still a week away from that, but as of the moment, and things could change, especially with UAB, no teams are scheduled to move conferences at all next season, and no teams are scheduled to join D1 next season as of yet, which would be the first time that I remember that there has not been a single move ever in the last 40 years, probably.
Probably so.
So we've been talking so much about realignment lately. We may have nothing this year.
Right.
Obviously, it could change with UAB. Could change if Kennesaw State decides to go in all sports, or and obviously if NJIT gets an invite.
We'll
keep on that as well.
But again, I don't know. It's still up. We'll probably post again, but we might be doing a few more State of the Game podcasts. I don't know if you heard that, me and Lee talking about that earlier, but that's one of the things we're gonna be talking sporadically throughout the off season, podcasts, some of the other legislation and just off season business. But the good news is, we are going to tell the NCAA exactly what they need to do to make this game better. Right here.
Yes. So tune in if you want to know. We are going to give the NCAA everything they need to know, just like we did with the selection committee, telling them who they need for the tournament. We're going to tell the NCAA exactly what to do. And we are the number one source for them deciding what to do, are we not?
Yes, we are. I mean, I would assume so.
Well, on that note, I guess everybody have a great night. Enjoy the games, especially tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. Also, the other Final Four that's happening this weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.